Hello, America. Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. And we have a lot to cover on today's show. We're going to be all over the map, from Norway to Pakistan, back to Davos in the United States. Of course, we'll go over to China. So I hope you're ready for this whirlwind tour of world events, which is threatening to take us down. And we're going to be talking to you a lot about how to overcome what is coming. But the bottom line is you need to have a bottom line. And your bottom line needs to start with preparation. And preparation means food, water, and alternative currency. You need to be outside this corrupt, satanic system that's coming your way. You say, satanic? Well, anytime that you're going digital and you have to have the mark to do business, I would say that is satanic. We're warned about it in the Bible. This is what's coming. We're headed for nuclear war. Of course, in a little while, we'll have a man come upon the scene who will bring us temporary peace before all hell breaks loose. So you need to really focus on being outside the system. How do you get outside the system? Well, I like to say in my mantra, but this is not a complete list, food, water, guns, gold, ammo, natural medicine, and tools. These are the essentials, plus some other ancillaries that will get you through and make you independent of the system. You also need to be a wise consumer. Why shop your national, international stores when you can go local, and the money is 16 times more prevalent in your local economy when you spend it there, because when you spend it in the corporate chains, it leaves your economy. Local money hires local people. So I always say, hey, make sure that you are engaged in supporting local business. This means eating establishments. This means retail outlets. Wherever you spend your time and money, go local whenever you can. Now let's talk about the food part of it. Can you get the food that you need to sustain yourself? The answer is yes, but it will not be long until the food that you have access to will be the food that's within your house, period. You need to put more food in your house. I'm happy to tell you that my Patriot Supply is right there at the ready. They still have that great sale, $200 off the 12-week emergency kit. You can order in 12-week emergency kit segments and realize that savings all the way through. And now the question I always get, well, how much do you need? I don't know. I don't know how long you're going to need it. Conventional wisdom says 2 years. That's what all the experts are saying. Can you get there? No. Then do the best you can do. And by the way, that's 2 years per family member. And you said, Dave, that's a daunting order. Yes, it is. Do the best that you can do. And if you do the best you can do, the Lord will see you. If you're faithful to Him, excuse me, He'll be faithful to you. We're promised that in Matthew and Revelations. He will not depart from you. So, how do you get your storable food, and what will you get? Well, you get 25 years of storable food. You get restaurant quality of storable food. You get breakfast, lunch, dinner, kids' snacks. I mean, it's a lot of variety, which you won't get if you buy in bulk at the stores, because you'll just buy what's on sale. And the food does taste good, and you get 2,000 calories per day. It's a great deal. Go to foodwithdave.com. That's foodwithdave.com. And you say, well, will I get what I need? Well, yes. May I also recommend you find hiding places for that food, too, for all of the obvious reasons. Now, what else will you need? Well, we've seen the grid down in Pakistan. We're going to talk about that a little more later. If this goes on for any length of time here, and we've had 9 attacks upon the grid in about a month, but if this goes on for any length of time here, you may have to scavenge for water. Now, scavenging is the easy part. Unless you're in the Sahara Desert, you'll find water. You'll get rain runoff. You'll get swimming pools, rivers, ocean, whatever you get, but you have to filter it. Because on the fifth day of a crisis, waterborne illnesses, according to the Naval War College, is the leading cause of death. So you're going to have to filter. Are you ready to do that? Well, if you don't have a great filtration system, we have one for you. The Alexa Pure Pro Water Filter is number one. It is the best, absolutely the best, in what's available. The research is published at waterwithdave.com, and it's on sale, just like the food. So you got foodwithdave.com, you got waterwithdave.com, and we got a couple more things to talk to you about very, very quickly here. I think you had a suffer in comfort. Mike Lindell's people have said, we're going to make your audience, Dave, deals they can't refuse. No, that's not the mafia. It's people who care about you. All the stuff that Mike Lindell sells, the sheets, the pillow casings, everything, is on sale for a minimum of 50% off at our site, and sometimes it's 75% off. Go to mypillow.com/Hodges, coupon code Hodges. mypillow.com/Hodges, coupon code Hodges. Well, we have seen in Norway now that the banks are no longer transacting business with each other in digital credit. They are at the forefront of testing CBDCs to come in and take the place of hard currency. It will not be long in Norway until you are unable to transact in paper money. Now, once you go digital, the system has you by the blankety blanks. Once you go digital, they can take anything from you at any time, and there's nothing you can do. They can limit your purchases. Well, you know, it's really a bad idea if you buy meat, and we just saw you bought too much meat. So we are taking away your meat privilege for the next 3 months. You've exceeded your carbon footprint. You may know that they have individual devices that say they can measure that now. Now, I think this is a lot of horse crap, but nonetheless, they are going to control your energy output by monitoring your footprint. And if you exceed it, you will be taxed tremendously. Excuse me, what was that thing that we saw on social media? You said you thought Justin Trudeau was a tyrant, seizing people's money simply for protesting. Well, we're here to tell you that you don't have that right. You know, we have leaders who we entrust with the ability to lead us. You will keep your mouth shut. You will do what you're told. And we're seizing your money. And, oh, by the way, you've lost your job. Oh, and you're kicked out of your state-owned apartment. Oh, and your kids can't go to school. Good luck getting through life being a dissident. A dissident is bad. You're spreading misinformation. And you know misinformation really doesn't exist. But misinformation is anything that disagrees with the ruling elite who want you to own nothing and love it. The Norway situation should be a wake-up call to every American. Freedom is not free. It is not a spectator sport. It's one that demands entire participation, donating a portion of each day to the aspect of freedom. Whatever it is you do, right now, putting pressure on Congress, identifying the things we talk about here, that would be being a warrior. Well, I don't know if that works. A lot of times, the collective is what makes it work, and individual efforts add to the collective protest. It does work. Your so-called dissidents can make a difference at this point in time. Wait a little while longer, and your dissidents will be severely punished. It will threaten your very existence. These people that met in Davos, and we'll talk more about them later, they are determined to take everything away from you. Yuval Noah Harari, the number two man in the World Economic Forum, said a few months ago, we need a mass extinction event to wipe out at least half of humanity. Could be talking about nuclear war. Could be talking about anything that they concoct. Famine on a global scale. Could be that as well. But right now, folks, you need to understand, you are not just unimportant to these people. That's the status you occupy today with our government. You are not just unimportant to the World Economic Forum. You're in the way. Now, you have to remember one thing. Henry Kissinger mentored Klaus Schwab. And what's a phrase that Kissinger is known for? Useless eaters. Which means that you shouldn't be here. And this really gives rise to the fact that Kissinger and Klaus Schwab are Fabian socialists. Now, if you know your sociology, you know, that was my one of my undergraduate majors, that in history. If you know your sociology, you know that Fabian socialism is one of the five pillars of sociology. And basically, it's predicated on the belief that if you are not putting more into society than taking it out, literally, you should be done away with. And this is where Henry Kissinger gets the phrase, useless eater. How can they do away with you? They can do the slow kill. Slowly remove your resources until you perish. Force you to take vaccines, which we know the boosters collapse your immune system. That's not Dave Hodges' judgment here. That is what the empirical data is finding in retrospect to people who are taking the jab. This is what medical personnel are saying. Now, you say, well, Dave, these vaccines were endorsed by the government. Yeah. Shall we take a minute and talk about the vaccines that were endorsed by the government? Shall we talk about their testing? It used to be it took about 10 years to bring something to market. You had to even go to court to get permission, or from a federal agency, get permission to take an experimental drug in a life-saving situation. And even then, they weren't generous about doing this because they were worried about liability. So what they did, let's talk about what's standard. For 4.5 years, one of the courses I taught at the university level was research protocols for students preparing to start their dissertation. And what we teach them was the standard. You have to have double blind, you know, if you're doing a experimental model. You have to have a control group and an experimental group, and the people can't know which group they're in. And then when you get to your results, you have to do the t-test for independent means. You have to determine how likely it is that your research is due to luck. And if you're not at the 0.05 level, meaning your probability says it's less than 5% chance our results are due to luck, you have to keep repeating the same research over and over and over. We call that replicability. Well, they didn't do that with the vaccines. They first tested on animals, standard. All the animals died. They never tested on humans. Well, they did, but it was only after Operation Warp Drive became public and humans became the first generation guinea pigs of the research. It wasn't done the way it was supposed to. And when the animals all died, they should never have graduated to this. They should have gone back to the drawing board and said, okay, how do we make something for coronavirus that won't kill the host when they take the vaccine and will prevent transmission? Well, the data is showing now, and thanks to people like Tom Renz and the frontline doctors, and then many other doctors today, Dr. Mercola, Dr. Malone, all these doctors coming out with irrefutable research saying they never followed the research protocols. They were a joke. And I tell you, folks, if you don't do double-blind control group, animal, then human, and replicability of research and getting the 0.05 factor, you do not have research. You have BS. That's what you have. And these people at Pfizer wouldn't have got out of my midterm exam on research, and I'm talking about at the 100 level. I'm not talking graduate school. I'm not talking postgraduate. I'm talking undergraduate research methods. They fail the class. They don't pass the midterm exam if they get that far. But the American public is ignorant as hell. The doctors all know. The ones who don't are on the payroll. I'm being very serious. We had a pediatrician for my son, and the MMR came up for discussion. And I said, I have concerns over what I'm seeing on the data independently run about the side effects. That's not mainstream thinking, Mr. Hodges. I said, do you know what I do for a living? This is one of the things I do, and I explained to him what I just explained to you. I said, I know how to read research. And when you have this high a percentage of side effects, it's a cost-benefit analysis. and we choose not to take care or take part in the cost benefit here. And I found out later he was on the payroll promoting vaccines. Yeah, this was some years ago. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a fact. And the doctors are bought off in many cases, or they're afraid of their license. See, now, in California, in their cases like this, which is totally bogus, if you say, I have research that contradicts what the state of California says about vaccines, you lose your license. Doesn't matter if you're right. Doesn't matter if you go into court and you can prove scientifically you've dotted all the I's and you've crossed all the T's. It doesn't matter. You lose your license because you're going against the prevailing opinion. This is the Galileo story of science, or should I say pseudoscience. And you go, well, Dave, what's that story? Well, Galileo said, we're not the center of the universe. Sorry to say it. What? That's heresy. We'll burn you at the stake. And Galileo said, well, okay, I don't want to get burned at the stake, and I don't want to offend your doctrine, but please come to my observatory, and I'll have you look in my telescope, and I can show you irrefutable proof. So the Catholic cardinals all went to his observatory, and as they bent over the telescope, they covered their eyes so they could truthfully say, we didn't see a thing. You better shut up, because you're guilty of heresy. This is the kind of science we have today. This is what our medical establishment is about. And with all the data out there now about how deadly the vaccines are, if you don't take a vaccine, you know they're talking about universal tracking now, digital tracking within countries. That was a popular topic at the Davos conference. So, in Norway, as they roll out this digital currency, your compliance will be mandatory, or you won't eat. You won't travel. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You're not going to travel anyway. Have you seen what's going on in Oxford? Now, in Ireland, they're being a little more kind. Let me explain about travel, and I'll digress for a minute before I go back to the vaccine issue. We love the idea that we can get into a car in, say, Phoenix and drive to San Diego and have a week-long vacation enjoying the beach with your family. The elite hate that because you look like them. You get discretionary money. You get discretionary time. You're not working for them every second of the day, making them money while you wallow in poverty like a feudal system. So what they're beginning to do now is another experiment like what they're doing in Norway. It's called the 15-minute city, although in Dublin it's called the 20-minute city. The 15-minute city says you may not travel more than 15 minutes from your home. You'll be digitally blocked. Now, occasionally you may be given permission for a special event, a special occurrence, a tragedy, whatever, but effectively you're locked into this 15-minute digital prison. In Dublin, it's 20 minutes. It's scary how they're doing this. Digital AI is going to control you. It will track whether you've had a deadly vaccine. You will submit. They only want people to serve them, but they don't want people to live a long life. They don't want people to travel. They don't and won't allow discretionary income. They won't allow you to have a savings. They won't allow you to have a retirement. Your Janet Yellen is talking about taking your retirement and putting it in a protective custodial account managed by the government. Like you'll ever see it again, or you'll see just exactly how much they want you to see, not what's really there. Oh, we're headed for bail-ins with retirement accounts. We're headed for it with the banks. This deal in Norway, folks, is a very big deal, and it is about imprisoning you. And if you think, Dave, you're making too much of this, okay, let's go to the comment made by the president of Colombia, Cocaine Central. This leftist communist president in Colombia said in a speech at Davos at the World Economic Forum, we must declare war on capitalism. We in Colombia will no longer produce oil or natural gas. So what about their people? 15-minute cities. What about not having oil and gas? They can wear an extra layer of clothing. They can walk around in shorts when it's hot and humid. They don't need these creature comforts. You're killing the planet. The planet will be destroyed in 12 years. And how do we know that? Oh, because uneducated congresspeople, like Ocasio-Cortez, told us this. Greta Thunberg, a teenager with no training, no science background. I mean, what does it tell you about the sophistication and scientific validity of a movement in which one of your spokespeople is a teenager that doesn't, well, let's put it this way. She wouldn't know research if it hit her in the face, yet she's a spokesperson. We're supposed to listen to what she says. Brilliant, isn't it? Isn't it just brilliant what we have here going on? And it's back to Galileo. And cover your eyes, Catholic cardinals, because you don't want to see the science. In the same way with the vaccine, we didn't see the science. And they tried to make it mandatory. Well, it didn't work in the United States. Eventually, we got it stopped. Even the military now has it stopped. However, and here's your big however, ladies and gentlemen. If they do what they want to do at the World Economic Forum, which is to destroy nation states, they want to wipe you off the face of the earth in terms of being a political entity. You'll be controlled by corporates. You'll be controlled by the AI that controls corporate. Or better yet, you'll be controlled by the AI that they put into motion to control you. And this is what's coming. There will be no countries. I'm going to make a recommendation for a movie, if you can find this. It's a 1975 starring the late actor, good actor too, James Caan. And the movie was called Rollerball. Forget about the hyperbole of the sport, which was really a bread and circus aspect, like NFL football is. And they focused on the fact that six corporations controlled the world and you had no rights. In fact, James Caan was this Michael Jordan of his sport. And he even had his wife taken from him in a previous time by a person that was high on the corporate structure. Oh, I like her. She's cute. She's with me now. And that was made a big deal. In fact, what they did in the movie, he was so big, he transcended, shall we say, regional rooting for your team. So if you got a team from Asia, you know, the Asian people in the former countries of China, Korea, Japan, and so forth, they would root for that team. But they rooted for him because he was so good. It was kind of like Michael Jordan, where team fans on the opposing teams may have wanted their team to win, but they loved Michael Jordan because he was so great at what he did. Well, this was what the character was called, Jonathan E. And then the people got pissed off that were in charge, and they said, you can't allow Jonathan E. to keep playing. Why? Because people are getting hope from him that individual accomplishment makes a difference. They wanted everything to be in the collective. And you're saying, OMG. They wanted to make you part of the Borg, part of the hive. And they told Jonathan E., you will quit. And then you have to see the rest of the movie to see how it plays out. But it was interesting. They had national wars. They had corporate wars. Then they spoke about it retrospectively. You actually don't see that in the movie. But then they centered on six major corporations running the world. They want the nation state gone. So let's say, well, how does that affect us with vaccines? Okay, here's my point. If the World Economic Forum reduces governments to, let's say, the national government to being subservient to international AI, namely the World Health Organization, the World Economic Forum, the World Bank, the IMF, you're secondary to that as a nation, you will do what they're told. You're like a county government living inside a state. And so your congressional representatives, your president, and also, too, your Supreme Court, they only have so much power. They can be overridden. This is just like the TPP. You don't even know what the hell I'm talking about, do you? When I say it's just like the TPP, please allow me to explain. The TPP was the short for it, the long was the Trans-Pacific Partnership. It was disguised as a free trade agreement, but Congress wasn't allowed to read the bill. Only that communist Paul Ryan, and boy, he is a communist, was he allowed to read it by Obama's designation, and then he came back to Congress and said, vote up or down. What was a communist piece of legislation that I'll cover in a second, and he came back and said, vote for it. It's really good. Well, what we found out later is when Donald Trump came into office and before the TPP become operationalized, Donald Trump killed it by executive order. Thank you, Donald Trump. So people who say, oh, he's part of them. No, he's not part of them. He is not part of them. Otherwise, he wouldn't have killed this. The TPP would have been set up with a 23-person businessman panel, self-appointed, outside any type of political control or responsibility to the people, and they could have vetoed anything a national government did that was a signatory to this agreement. Now, originally, they were only starting out with 12 nations. That certainly would have grown, and it would have been probably the new UN in terms of national control. The Congress, the Supreme Court, the President would have all been neutered. And this was Barack Obama, this was Paul Ryan, and dumbass Congress people who voted for something they never even read. And Donald Trump says, we're not doing this. And he got rid of it. And you're saying, that's amazing. I didn't know that. Why would the mainstream media, who's owned by the people who put together the TPP, ever tell you about it? I had to go research this. And see, this stuff is all publicly available. The problem is, you have to research it. You're saying, amazing, but let's get back to the bottom line here. This is what Davos is about, setting up this monstrosity of a system, and you will take your booster vaccines. Well, I have a health exemption. My doctor said, sorry, we don't recognize that. You either do what you're told, or you'll basically be ostracized outside society, and we'll use digital currency to do it in the social credit system. That's what's coming, ladies and gentlemen. This is what they talked about. And you go, oh, that just can't be. Well, I'm sorry that you're so far removed from this. But I want to tell you about a Duke professor, Nita Harani, who teaches at Duke. She spoke to the World Economic Forum. This is how bad it's getting and how much out of control things have become. I want to take you first back in time to 5 years ago, where Yuval Noah Harari, the most evil man on earth, or maybe number two next to Klaus Schwab, he said, we have hackable humans. The idea of free will is now a dead notion. And you're saying, what do you mean it's a dead notion? Well, what that means, ladies and gentlemen, is this. They can hack your thoughts. Now, shall we go to her presentation? And I actually played this clip on YouTube. So you can go there and you can look this up, Hackable Humans. And she said, you'll be working, and she presented this hypothetical scenario. She says, we're now, right now, where we can see in your mind faces you're thinking about. Faces you're thinking of, yes. We can identify a person that you're thinking about. We also can get your PIN number from your bank account because it's in your thoughts. We can take images, which are data, crack the data, and know exactly what you're thinking at any given time. And she presented this new workplace model where you're working in this collective set of pods and your brainwaves are constantly monitored. And there was a really cute guy that was hired, and a girl that was there, young lady, was saying, well, he's attractive. Oh, I can't think that. I'm not on task. In fact, there's laws against romantic involvement in the office, and if they catch me with this, I'll lose my job, and I'll suffer social credit punishment. This is an example that she was using in her talk at the World Economic Forum. She went on to say that she came to work one day, this hypothetical woman, and they arrested the guy that she liked. And he was working with her on a project. And they were checking everyone's thought patterns for synchronicity. And you're saying, wait a minute, they're checking. What do you mean? By looking at brainwaves that coalesce together, that show the same pattern. So let's just say that Obama is working on a plot with Joe Biden to defraud the American people in some fashion, like the Keystone Pipeline. When they are talking about that issue, both of them, they would show similar brainwave patterns. And you're saying, they can do that? Well, actually, this technology is in there in the private. I interview someone, I think you'll find this interesting. Her name is Dr. Sherry Edwards. You go, Dave, I've heard of her. She's the one that says you can tell what someone's going on with their health by the frequency in their voice. Yes, but you can also ascertain personality traits. You can also ascertain motives. and you can look for brain synchronicity in the same example is that speech being given hypothetically in a hypothetical office scenario to the World Economic Forum. And you're saying, wait a minute, Sherry can do all that? Yeah, Dr. Sherry Edwards, S-H-A-R-R-Y, can do that. The big boys are trying to buy her out. She's refusing. In fact, if you look her up on the net, bioacoustic analysis, Dr. Sherry, S-H-A-R-R-Y, excuse me, Dr. Sherry Edwards, she is giving away this technology for free. It's driving the other side crazy because she comes on my show on a regular basis, both my TV and radio, and we do analysis of politicians. And stuff she was saying 2 years ago is correct. And I'll tell you, she did a health analysis of me. And what she found was stuff from my childhood that no one would know about unless they knew me at that time, stuff that's not even a factor in my life any longer. And she said, "Oh, Dave, you had this when you were little." Yeah. I did. The remnants are in your voice print. It was absolutely stunning what she can do. In fact, she's even gotten into the we can help people by changing their brain encoding by listening to certain types of notes and sounds, and it reprograms your brain to produce better health. And she is teaching people how to do this and how to teach others how to do this, and she's doing it free of charge. I always pray for her safety because this is the kind of technology that people would kill for. She's very brave. She's very, very scientific, and she's very accurate. And so when we go back to this example by this Nita professor from Duke, she's describing this hypothetical office scenario, and I go, yeah, I've heard this before. This is Dr. Sherry Edwards. She independently discovered this. They can hack your brain now. This isn't futuristic. We think in the future we'll be able to do it. This is technology that's now water under the bridge. It exists in the present moment. And you wonder how much brainwashing can be done. You know, a lot of people say to me, "Dave, isn't it amazing? We had hundreds of thousands of people, and actually end up millions of people, protesting the Vietnam War in the 1960s and early 70s. What's going on today is far worse, but people just sit on their butts and do nothing. A lot of it's a conditioning process using techniques and strategies that we're talking about here. When Harari talks about hackable humans, which he did 5 years ago, he's announcing to the world, we can control you. Now, are there antidotes? Yes. You'll have to go to Sherry to get those. I will also say this, the primary antidote to this mind control, and you go, "Oh, Dave, this is too much woo-woo." I'm just encouraging you to check it out, and you'll come back with an apology if you're thinking this right now. If you don't think this is real and you criticize me, you will apologize to me one day because it's happening, and it's happening now. And they tell you what they're doing. Listen, when they stand up there at Davos and say, "Hey, we're evil and this is what we're going to do to you," when they show you who they are, you need to believe them. They're showing us every day who they are. And they're coming for us. They're coming for our kids. Another topic we'll get to in a little while here. But ladies and gentlemen, this deal in Norway is such a big deal because it opens the door to all of this. You will submit. Now, can you imagine if they could put a chip in your brain? Can you imagine how the technology would grow exponentially? It wouldn't just rely on artificial stimulation that's external. Now it could be internally controlled, and you can turn people on, you can turn people off. Literally. Literally. Now, do you know when I first heard about this kind of thing? It was in 2008, and the Department of Homeland Security leaked a video, and it was on YouTube. And they said, "We have isolated the God part of the brain." You go, "Oh yeah, I remember that. That was 15 years ago." And they said, "We can eliminate terroristic, radicalized, religious fundamentalism." And they were speaking at that time about Middle East terrorists, and our TSA was still looking for Middle East terrorists. And then shortly after that, they did the oh, I forget the name of the report now, but they declared Americans to be terrorists if you believed in Ron Paul, if you believed in the Constitution, the Second Amendment, free speech, and you were a Christian. That was cause for being considered to be a domestic terrorist. And since that time, that label has stuck. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the God part of the brain, they said, could be manipulated. This is exactly what Yuval Harari is talking about. Hackable humans that can be manipulated and molded to the Borg. Now, let's just say they get their digital everything in. You want to eat? You'll take the boosters. But what will the boosters do to you? Well, the data shows us now the boosters are collapsing the immune system. This is what doctors who know how to do research are telling us. The research that should have been done before they ever released COVID. But they had to create the panic. Do you remember the stories we were telling here on the Common Sense Show? We were getting nurses calling in, people in autopsy situations where they do an autopsy on a guy. Let's say he was in a motorcycle accident and he died of brain trauma, but they would write that in the autopsy, and then the medical examiner would change it to cause of death, COVID. They had to inflate the numbers to basically increase the panic so people would do what they're told and take the vaccines that they knew were bad for them. And this is exactly what we're facing today. The life insurance companies. See, oh, Dave, I know what you're going to say, because I've heard this. That's correct, but I'm going to say it anyway. The life insurance companies are reporting 100,000 deaths over the norm expected for the last 2 years. And they don't like this. They are required to report this, first of all. But secondly, they don't like it because they have to pay out twice as many or three times as many claims as they were before, because the death curve is so high. Did you know the life expectancy of a person in the United States is now 2 years less than it was 2 years ago? We have dropped that. Now, here's another interesting thing. In the last 5 years, our IQ has dropped 3 points. You go, well, that's not very much. That's significant for the general population. The things that are being put into our bodies are dumbing us down and wrecking our immune systems. This isn't conspiracy nonsense. You look at Dr. Malone, start looking at the research that's been done. The frontline doctors who did real research. This is what it's showing us. And now we have long-term major establishments in our society, such as life insurance companies, confirming the damage that's been done to us. And it's just beginning. Now, even though our courts have said you can't force people in the private sector to take a vaccine, at Davos, they're saying just the opposite. And look how many American politicians went to Davos. I don't think I have that list any longer, but I read the list on the air. And actually, I just read the partial list. Oh, wait a minute. I have it right here. Let me read to you just a partial list here of the people who went there. Of course, John Kerry, the communist best friend. Gretchen Whitmer, who wants to pervert your kids in school. And, of course, she went boating with her husband on Memorial Day weekend when she locked down her entire state. FBI Director Ray. And you know what Ray said? He told Davos, the marriage between government and big tech is necessary to preserve society. What he's basically saying is we need to shut the people up and use the FBI to do it so people can't question authority, can't demand research for the claims that are being forced upon them. This is your FBI director. He should be impeached and he should be indicted for treason. Then, of course, I've warned you about Governor Kemp from Georgia, haven't I? I said he was China's best friend, and he is. Well, he was at Davos. Oh, he's such a conservative. No, he's not. He's a traitor. And he was there supporting this agenda. You got Coons, a senator who was there. Daryl Issa, I was shocked by that one. Meeks. Pritzker. Who is that guy? And this is, you want a little humor here, okay? And I'm making fun of fat people. We all need to lose a little bit of weight. But Pritzker is, you've heard of extra large? He's extra, extra large. And he gave a speech on Wednesday of that week talking about the benefits of bug burgers. I think he called them beetle burgers. Pritzker, doesn't look like he's had too many. I mean, he's eating something that's making him really fat. But the governor of Illinois, okay, Congressman Rich, Kyrsten Sinema. Oh, she's independent. Uh-huh. Tell me more. Manchin. He was there. Oh, he's a moderate. A moderate that wants to take away all your rights and shorten your lifespan and dumb your kids down. Okay, that's good. How about Salazar? This is surprising. Supposed to be a conservative Republican from Florida, and she is there supporting the evisceration of the human race as we know it. And then you have, let's see, we got a couple others in here. Moulton from Massachusetts. You've got Sherelle from New Jersey. This is just a partial list, folks. There was one bright spot at the conference before I get into the meaning of all this, and her name is Catherine Tai. And when I first heard the U.S. Trade Representative was in Davos, I go, oh my God, there goes the economy. She got up to the General Assembly, and I'm going to tell you something, she's not going to have a job real long, because she said, your model for business leaves out an important element, which is the welfare of the worker. In America, we're still concerned about the welfare of the worker and will continue to be so. So she was saying the exploitation in a dangerous fashion of the average person working for the people at Davos, that's not going to be permitted in America. I think she's positioning to run for office. She knows she's going to get fired. She'll probably run as a conservative Republican. That would be my guess. Her name is Catherine Tai, and presently she holds the position of U.S. Trade Representative. And she's one of my heroes today. I was absolutely shocked when she made that pronouncement. Okay, let's get into the bottom line here. The bottom line is, if we don't stop these people, if we don't put them in a glass cage, if we don't lock them up, if we don't tear down Davos brick by brick, sorry people, when you let evil come to your kingdom needs to go down. And when you allow these things to happen and you are perpetuating the greatest potential genocide in the history of mankind, we have a right to respond. We have a right to exist. We have a right. We have a right to worship Christ. They say you don't. Religion, they really believe this, like Karl Marx, is the opiate of the masses. No, thank you. I do not submit. I do not agree, but if we let these people take control, if they can monitor your thoughts, as per the Duke University professor, they can hack your brain, they can persecute you. They won't even need social credit after a while. They simply need to know what you're thinking. Oh, that person's got to go, off with their head. You know that DHS, back during the Obama years, imported massive amounts of nerve agents that killed the Jews in Auschwitz. They imported it from Brazil. I published the order from the federal government on my website, thecommonsenseshow.com. You have to ask yourself, what would they be thinking? Why would they do this? Are we going to be executing that many? No. What's the Obama method of justice? Commit a crime, no cash bail, let them out again. That's Obama. So what we're looking at here, ladies and gentlemen, is they're planning to do something nefarious. And there's another rumor that's out there that I want to address. Is this administration and the people behind this administration planning for mass genocide? I think the gas agent issue is somewhat indicative here. We also imported guillotines at the same time, and actually there was a law in Georgia that was proposed, a bill to ban the use in Georgia, and then they turned around and said, no, we can use it for capital punishment now. I don't know the end of that answer. I'd like to be able to tell you that, but I will say this. If they make you take shots that wreck your immune system, it's slow kill. Why not just wipe everybody out, people say to me. And I'm saying, what would happen with humanity today if we learned they're going to kill us all? They just want a few of us left as a servant class to tend to their every need while they meld themselves man and machine. Transhumanism. And let me take a moment and tell you where transhumanism comes from. May I? May I take a moment and tell you this? My dad told me a lot of what was coming from his work in intelligence. And he told me these things before he passed in 1985. And he said, but son, you can't go public with this at all. You can't do anything about it. And I recommend you're careful because they'll kill for this. But he said, your mom gets my pensions. He had two pensions. And they'll take those from her because I'm violating my national security oath and telling you these things. And I said, I understand. So I knew this stuff, and I was pretty sensitive to what was going on in the world at that time. And I was introduced to Pat Wood's book, who's now a friend of mine, and I interview him regularly. But Pat Wood's book called The Trilaterals Over Washington, about the Trilateral Commission and what they were really after, and it was really devastating. And this all happened while I was silent. But in 1992, a gentleman named Vance Davis, former NSA, former NATO, serving in the U.S. Army, he was on Art Bell's show, and he had a little run-in with the president and six of his colleagues called the Gulf Breeze 7, and they wanted them to engage in some of these mind-bending techniques and also to involve Ouija boards, and they all said no, and they deserted. They said, we're not doing this. And they were caught, put in prison, but they didn't want them to go to trial because discovery would have exposed what was going on. And at that time, they didn't have the National Defense Authorization Act where they could have locked them away forever without any due process, which we have now. And so Vance got out. And Vance, this was like 1989 when he was finally released. So I hear Vance on Art Bell. First time I ever heard Art's show. I was listening to the Phoenix Suns basketball game, and Art used to be on that same station, changed later, and I heard Vance, and he was talking about the secret space program, and I go, oh gosh, I've heard all this before, and everything he said was 100% accurate. And so I said, I got to find him. And I went on a search to find Vance Davis. And eventually, I was rewarded. A gentleman named Bill Pollack, who will become one of my best friends, the late Bill Pollack, who, by the way, his wife served as my communications and news director for 6.5 years on the Common Sense Show when I was starting out. Bill contacted me and says, I understand you want to talk to Vance. Well, you got to talk to me first. And Bill had an intelligence background himself. And we talked, and I said, there's things about my dad I'm not going to tell you, but here are some things I do know about the space program that probably won't get me in trouble. Or my mom in trouble. And he said, yeah, he said, you know what you're talking about. So next thing I know, I'm hooked up with Vance, and the three of us became the best of friends. And I used to travel to see Vance. I lived in Glendale, Arizona. It's about 40 miles from Mesa. And I used to travel to see him every week, and his lovely wife, who was also part of that seven, they would take the kids and leave so we could talk. And we just shared information. This went on for quite some time, and we became very good friends. We used to have conferences where we'd come in and we'd sign non-disclosure agreements, and Bill would sponsor these conferences, and we'd tell each other what we knew, but we couldn't go public about who's saying what. And we knew scientists and astronauts, and it was really cool to be a part of this. Here's what I learned. Vance was trained that it was Genesis 6, but they didn't say biblical phrases. And this was his NATO training. They said, good guys, bad guys fought the cosmos. Who they are, don't worry about it. Bad guys lost, they were cast to Earth. Genesis 6, fallen angels. What we're looking at today is the outgrowth of this. When they came here, they wanted revenge against the Lord. What's God's prized creation? Us. And what's the prized element within us? It's our soul. And they wanted to take our soul. This was part of Vance's training. This ended up in a book he wrote called Unbroken Promises. And Vance was absolutely right. And I had never really connected Genesis 6. I didn't really understand the fallen angels aspect of it. And then I became very aware of it. What we're seeing today, what Vance talked about on that radio show with Art, and what he and I spent many hours discussing, was who we're fighting against. We're not fighting against DNA for humans. And now you're going to say, oh, Dave, you're really out there now. What I'm saying to you is this. What does the vaccine destroy? Hello? Your immune system and what else? Your DNA. It changes your DNA. Does it not? And so since the people who fell to Earth or were cast to Earth could not do that, they decided to morph the human being into an unrecognizable entity, and therefore that was the closest they could come to striking back at the Lord. In fact, what does the Bible say? If Jesus did not return for the second time, no one would be left alive. This is the time we live in now. I don't want to believe we're headed towards a tribulation. I don't want to go through that. And then some people say, why not, Dave? The reward's really good on the other side. Okay, you're probably right. But it is with great trepidation that I fear what's coming. But this is what's coming. And the people I believe that are on the evil side of things, like a Harari, a Klaus Schwab, are they of that other DNA, the other strain that did not get wiped out by the flood and reemerged? And are they using wealth and promise of this and that to get high-level people on their side, like world leaders? And they train them in what's called the Young Global Leaders Training Program of the World Economic Forum. Is this connecting any dots for you now? I would really encourage you to become immersed in Revelations, the book of Matthew, and in particular Genesis 6. The whole story is told right there. It's being told in a manner in the Bible that's more direct than what I'm telling you here. So before you say, Dave, you're really out there and you've lost your mind, what I would say to you is this is almost an understatement of what we know biblically. And there's so much today that we're not going to get to. I wanted to talk to you about Pakistan, Harmeet Dhillon. I'm having Doug on tomorrow on the Doug and Dave Intel Report. We'll cover Pakistan there. Doug said this was coming. Doug said this is exactly what's coming, that the world's going to be manipulated through power outages and grid takedowns. And boy, was he ever right. This is just the first example, folks. We haven't seen the end of this, and it's not as they're telling you. But anyway, what I wanted to say to you is this. The World Economic is Satan's organization on earth. I'm being that blunt about it. It is Satan's organization on earth. They are seeking to rob from you everything. You know nothing and love it. You'll eat bugs. We won't let you have eggs. We won't let you have steak. We're going to wreck your immune system by taking away protein. We're going to force you internationally because there's no national laws to protect you. We're going to infect you with vaccines that will destroy your immune system. You will live shortened lifespans. You'll die early. And the survivors and the ones who live a little longer will be our servant class, and you'll be living in the modern age of feudalism, controlled by people who have melded man with machine. And what are the promises they're making to these world leaders? It's not just riches. It's life extension. And I've been reporting for 15 years about life extension experiments at Cal Berkeley. And they're saying right now we should all be living to be 120 minimum. And with a few mechanical adjustments, we could almost live immortally. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like transhumanism? Transhumanism is underlying just what Vance told me 30 years ago, before there was a term transhumanism. He described this process in his book, Unbroken Promises. He said, Dave, this is what's coming. Well, what's coming is no longer coming. It is already here. And I know I've said some things that really stepped outside usually my conservative approach to things here today. But if you doubt what I'm saying, go to your Bible. I'm saying what's in the Bible. And so if I'm a radical who's crazed, I serve a Lord who's the same way, because in my best way I know how, I'm parroting what I believe to be true from what the Bible says. That is my guideline. And oh, by the way, have you read about the decline of the Christian church? That's not by accident. This is intentional. And with the ability to track brainwaves, you won't even be able to do what they did in the Soviet Union when they ran for cover and had underground churches. There is no escape once we let them take hold of us. You know, you won't. Why take the mark when they can read your mind? They're going to know you love Jesus. They're going to know you want the eternal life. They're going to know you believe in the Bible, and they will exterminate you. But your reward will be glorious. I know of no way to escape this unless we stand up now and push this back to a later generation. Oh, Dave, that can't happen. If we got on bended knee in this country and professed allegiance to Jesus, belief in Jesus, he's the Son of God, I do believe that's exactly what would happen. God would forgive and God would bless. And this would be a different problem for a later time to deal with. What do I think the odds of that happening? Well, from my logical mind, I say slim and none, and slim has left town. But I would also say this, don't ever underestimate the power of God. He is your only salvation through all of this. And I'm telling you, if you think what I've said here at the end in the last 10 minutes is lunacy, please consult your Bible. I'm on very firm ground with this. I appreciate you coming here today. I got a lot off my chest, and I probably have 3 more hours that I could have shared with you, but I can't because we're out of time. God bless all of you. Spend time in your Bible while you still have a Bible to spend time with. That's it for the Common Sense Show. Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for our growing popularity. Let's hope we can save a few souls and maybe push this problem off to a later generation. If not, we'll wake up in heaven. God bless all of you.